Well, we are aware, of course, that there is a commandment from God that three times in the year, that's three seasons in the year, of course, we are to appear before God and not appear empty. And so the church, over the years, has always understood that to mean that on the holy days, we take up an offering as commanded by God. And of course, God is not, as I mentioned on the opening day, not looking for our money. What he's looking for is a willingness, a willing heart. And of course, we get the example in Scripture of the widow's mite and the difference between someone giving a great, huge sum of money in a pompous way and yet the widow giving just simple mites, two small parts of a coin. And God showing that the willingness of the heart was what he really looks down upon. The truth is, brethren, that we are called by God not to just have an opportunity to get salvation. Of course, all of us want salvation and want to be in the kingdom of God. And on this great day, when it pictures the entirety of the human race that have not had an opportunity previously, will have their opportunity. And of course, we'll hear some of that in today's sermon, I'm sure. But we are called to give opportunity to this world for salvation. The word responsibility, which of course is one of the more modern English words, is not actually in Scripture, yet the Bible itself is replete with phrases that admonish us to take responsibility. Responsibility is a derivative from the word response or respond, and it means to take action, to respond to a command, or to be duty bound, as some of the phrases are used in the various different dictionaries. We're all familiar with the variety of statements made by Jesus Christ with regard to the work of God. When he was on the face of the earth, he said, "Greater works than these even will be done." And you look at the work that he did on this earth when he healed so many hundreds of people, healings that we aren't even aware of, that are not necessarily recorded in Scripture per se. That is to say, it doesn't name a specific individual. It just simply says he went about different towns in Galilee and healed many of the sick. He admonished us to do one thing, preach the gospel. But in preaching the gospel, he said to also baptize and to make disciples, followers in his footsteps, following the way that he laid out as an example from God the Father. He said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." That church has been on the face of the earth. It's not a large church, but there have been those who have been part of the church of God, followers of the church that Jesus Christ built from the day he built it until this day in 2008. There have always been, has always been someone on the face of the earth somewhere who were the church of God. When he said, "I will build my church and it will not fall, it will never fail, the gates of hell will not destroy it," he meant what he said. That church, of course, has a responsibility. The United Church of God is a physical organization with a spiritual responsibility. Yet it takes physical means at our disposal as a human organization to carry out a spiritual responsibility. The Church of God is, in essence, a spiritual organism. Those whom God has looked down upon on the face of this earth, wherever, whenever he chose, and those people that he called, he knows. He knows their heart. He knows who they are. He knows where they are. Unlike a time when Elijah said, "I'm the only one," we cannot say we are the only ones. Only God knows his people and where they are, and those people that he has called out of this world, it's the world of Satan the devil, and into following his son Jesus Christ on their way to the kingdom of God. Yet at the same time, while it is a spiritual organism, it still takes physical means. Because of the world in which we live, we are, of course, required to organize. And some people don't like the word organization, but God is organized. He is not the author of confusion. There is organization, and there will be organization in the kingdom of God. God is organized. And we, if we are to operate in any country, whether it's in Canada or whether it's in the United States, and I know this is also true in Australia, it's true in Britain, we must conform to certain government regulations. In Canada, we are incorporated as a non-profit charitable organization because we do not own property, do not own buildings. So the Canadian government does not see us as a quote-unquote church so much as they see us as a non-profit charitable organization. And therefore, we have a charity number that is issued by the federal government so that anyone in each province, even though we were incorporated in Ontario, anyone in each province, all the different organizational congregations in each province, can, of course, issue donation receipts that are tax deductible. That's how the system works in Canada, and I'm sure it's much similar in various other countries around the world, especially democratic countries. And that allows us to be able to take a donation that is given freely, tithes and offerings on holy days, and do the work that God has called us to do in a prudent way, as best we know how, to use the money as good servants. In Canada, we just recently increased an opportunity to be on television from coast to coast at a better time on Vision TV. Some of you may have seen the television program. It's on at 10 o'clock in Eastern Canada, but that means it's on at 7 p.m. on a Sunday evening in British Columbia, 8 o'clock evening in Alberta, 9 o'clock Sunday evening in Manitoba. We're also on the Christian Channel, which is a digital channel that can be picked up in various different provinces, but is quite popular in Ontario. As a result of the new time on television, running the Beyond Today television program in Canada, we have increased the number of responses. In fact, as a result of the television program running on a national network from coast to coast, from St. John's, Newfoundland to Victoria, British Columbia, and in between on a national network, and the Christian Channel, which is operated through digital and it's on in almost every province, but you have to have one of those digital boxes, of course, to receive it. Between that and our internet keyword campaigns, which Paul Wozlikoff, who works under the home office in Cincinnati, helps us with, and the Reader's Digest campaigns that we have run, the last two ad campaigns, we've added since, in the last 18 months, over 10,000 new subscribers to the Good News magazine. And many of those who watch the television program are repeat, that is to say, they repeat requests for booklets. And we have one or two or three gentlemen that I'm aware of on the prairies that have requested as many as 8 or 10 or 12 or 14 or 15 of our booklets material. Those are people who are gradually, slowly coming to the understanding and the knowledge that we teach based on the scriptures that God gives to us. And through the guidance and the direction of His Spirit, we put that material out there. And sooner or later, God is going to open the hearts of some of those people to the point where they want to have a visit from a minister. They may want to come to Sabbath services. They may want to find out who we are. And God may eventually bring someone like that into the knowledge of His truth to the degree that they actually come to the point of wanting to become baptized. And that's what the work of God is all about. It's about preaching the gospel and making disciples of those we preach to. Some of it will, you know, the word will fall in rough soil. You know the parable. Some of it will fall in the good soil. Some seed will fall in good soil, and some of those people will eventually become part of the Church of God. And when they become part of the Church of God, that opens their opportunity to be in the kingdom of God, either in the first resurrection, or if they continue to study and are never baptized and they begin to understand a little bit of it, it's possible they might have to wait till the second resurrection. But either way, what God is doing is building a family, and some will be in it before others, but all of us, I would dare say, want to be in the kingdom of God one way or another. Somebody before us made contributions. We saw it in the video this year. Somebody before us, several people before us, made contributions that made it possible for us to hear a radio program, to watch a television program, to read a magazine, to take a correspondence course, to come to knowledge that allowed God to open his mind to us and open our mind to him, so that at one time or another we were all called and eventually became to be baptized members of the Church of God. So as I say, UCG is a physical organization with a spiritual responsibility, and part of that responsibility is for us as ministers and elders in the Church of God to admonish all of us that it is time, once again, to take up an offering. We are to give according as we are able, not more than we are able, and not to be less than we should, but to give according as we are able, as we have been blessed over the last year. So it's time to take up the offering. We're going to have some offertory music, but before we do that, I just want to make one announcement that goes with it. We want to give a big thank you to all of those who donated extra cost to help cover various activities. That's part of a little bit of extra tithe, and that happens, and we're very appreciative of it. We know just by the way we keep track of the bookkeeping, we don't necessarily know names, but sometimes the way we keep track of bookkeeping, we know that there were people who bought extra tickets, for example, for the seniors. We know there are people who do these things. We know there are individuals who are here who have helped people with their hotel room. These are wonderful attributes of the people of God. That's the heart of God. So if anyone has any excess tithe, you are welcome to include it in today's offering if you choose to help the work in Canada. That is your choice. I'm not suggesting that you do that, but that is your choice if you wish to do so. Okay, we're going to ask the ushers to take up the offering now, and during the offering, our pianist, who's been with us all week long, and we appreciate his talent at the piano, Keith Koshman from Edmonton, is going to play a tune called Jerusalem. And then after the offering, the choir will come up on stage, conducted by Mr. Brandenburg, and the Kelowna Festival Choir will sing a special music entitled King All Glorious, after which we will hear today's sermon on the last great day, the first sermon of the day from Mr. Dennis Luker, whom we all know and love, and of course is here with his wife Leanne from the Seattle area. He's the pastor of Seattle as well as Alaska, and he's also, of course, the gentleman who looks after much of the Pacific Northwest. His sermon is entitled God's Great Plan for Mankind, and truly it is a great plan. And we will hear from Mr. Dennis Luker once we hear from Keith Koshman at the piano during the offertory, and the Kelowna Choir singing King All Glorious. Then we will have our main message from Mr. Luker.